بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So last week we began with the introduction to Al-Usul Al-Sitta, the six fundamental principles authored by Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And we began by mentioning the meaning of asal in the Arabic language. Who remembers the meaning of asal in the Arabic language? No, in the Arabic language it means something which something else is built upon. Yeah, like foundations, for example. And in the Islamic Sharia, either it means a principle which carries on or an evidence. Both of those things. And why did the author make them six principles? Why only six? Does that mean that there's no other principles in the religion? Or there's only six principles? But why? That's one of the reasons why he wrote this book, because of the problems that he saw in his place and his society. But why did he restrict them to six? So keep it concise, give it a number in order to make it easy for people to learn. And is there an example from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whereby he limited certain things to a number even though they're more than that number? The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned 10 particular people who have been given the glad tidings to Jannah even though there's more than 10. Anything else? Like the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, اجتنبوا الموبقات السبع. Be aware of the seven major sins. So he limited the major sins to seven in this hadith even though there's more than seven major sins. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ مَّنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةُ الْإِيمَانِ. Three characteristics which are found in a person, by these three characteristics he tastes the sweetness of Iman. Even though there's more than three things which increases a person's Iman. So limiting certain things to a number, this is from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Mu'allif, the author, rahimahullah, he began by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why did he start with saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Why does the author often begin his books by mentioning Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? For barakah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ هَامٍ لَمْ يَبْدَى فِيهِ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ أَخْطَى. Any important matter which is not built, which is not started with the name of Allah, then it is aqta, meaning its blessing is deficient. And also because Allah Jalla fil Ula, he began his book by mentioning Bismillah. And because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would write letters to the people and to the kings, he would begin by saying Bismillah, in the name of Allah. What's the meaning of Ar-Rahman? Of mercy, the most merciful. Dhur-Rahma al-Wasi'a. And the meaning of Ar-Rahim? The one who bestows the mercy. So Ar-Rahman is an attribute of Allah, that He has the most amount of mercy. And Ar-Rahim is His action of bestowing mercy. And we said that Ar-Rahman, you can't give it to any other person from amongst the creation. You have to say Abdur-Rahman. As for Ar-Rahim, then this name can be given to the people. You can call somebody Ar-Rahim. As for Ar-Rahman, then it has to be Abdur-Rahman. What are the two types of guidance? So, Hidayatul Irshad wal Bayan is the guidance. Hidayatul Irshad wal Bayan. Hidayatul Irshad wal Bayan. This is the guidance that we give using evidences and proofs from Islam. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did and he possessed. And this is what we do and we possess. And this is the obligation upon us. This is Hidayatul Irshad wal Bayan. The guidance of evidences and proofs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said to the Prophet sallallahu, He said regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you guide to the straight path. You give hidayah to the straight path. أي hidayatul irshad wal bayan. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And then the other type of guidance is hidayatul tawfiq. And this is the guidance of a person accepting the evidences, accepting Islam and his heart being changed. And this guidance is only for Allah Jalla fil Ula. So hidayat al-tawfiq wal-qubul, a person accepting the guidance, then this is only for Allah. And this type of guidance is only asked from Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, as an evidence for this hidayah, He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. That you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not guide whomsoever you will, rather whomsoever you love, rather Allah guides whomsoever He wills. So there's no contradiction between these two statements, where Allah said that you do not guide, and the other one He said that you do guide. One is referring to hidayatul irshad wal bayan, and the other one is referring to hidayatul tawfiq wal qubul. And then we come on to the first principle, al-aslul awwal. So this first principle is regarding al-ikhlas, sincerity. Ikhlasu ad-din lillahi ta'ala wahdahu la sharika la. Making the religion, all of it, sincere for the sake of Allah the Most High, wahda, alone, la sharika la, He has no partners. So the author, rahimahullah, he began this principle by mentioning al-ikhlas, sincerity. And al-ikhlas is the most important principle in our religion. That we make all our actions and we make our intention in everything that we do sincerely for the sake of Allah. Worship, al-ibadah, is built upon al-ikhlas. And we mentioned in our lessons from the previous weeks in Al-Qua'id Al-Arba' that Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he said, the saying of Allah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and mankind except that they should worship me. And then he said, فَعْلَمْ, that you should know. He said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْعِبَادَةَ لَا تُسَمَّ عِبَادَةً إِلَّا مَعَ التَّوْحِيدِ. The worship, ibadah, it cannot be called worship except unless it has tawheed. كَمَا أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ لَا تُسَمَّى صَلَاةً إِلَّا بِالطَّهَارَةَ. Just as the prayer cannot be called the prayer except without al-tahara, except with al-tahara. So worship cannot be called worship without al-tawheed and ikhlas. Just as the prayer, al-salah, cannot be called al-salah, prayer, except with al-tahara, with purity. And then he said, فَإِذَا دَخَلَ الشِّرْكُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ فَسَدَتْ. So therefore, if shirk enters into worship, it corrupts it. كَمَا أَنَّ الْحَدَثْ إِذَا دَخَلَ فِي الطَّهَارَةِ. Just as if impurity enters into purification, it corrupts it. So this shows the importance of this principle, al-ikhlasu lillah, sincerity for the sake of Allah. And that all of worship and all of religion is based upon al-ikhlas lillah. And we have to show sincerity to Allah in every single act of our worship. And the scholars have mentioned the two conditions for the acceptance of any action. The two conditions for the acceptance of any action. The first condition is al-ikhlasu lillah, is sincerity for the sake of Allah. Every single act of worship that you do, it has to be sincere for the sake of Allah. And any act of worship that you do which is not in sincerity for the sake of Allah, then it is not accepted. And the second condition for the acceptance of any act of worship is al-ittiba', following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person has to make all of his actions sincerely for the sake of Allah, and then a person in that sincere action, he has to make sure it's according to the guidance and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this meaning, Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, she narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. In Sahih Muslim, whomsoever does an act of worship that is not in accordance to our affair, mean to our guidance, the guidance of the Quran and the sunnah, فَهُوَ رَدْ, then it is rejected, meaning it is not accepted. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ, in Sahih Muslim. So the two conditions of any act of worship being accepted is number one, التوحيد والإخلاص, and then secondly, ittiba' as-sunnah. That's, it is in conformity to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And al-ikhlas, sincerity, is an obligation when it comes to the acts of worship. However, it's also very important even in the worldly affairs which have no link to al-ibadah, which have no direct link to worship. And a person rectifying his intention and being sincere in all of his actions, even in the matters which relate to the dunya and they don't relate to the deen, then this matter or this avenue is from the greatest avenues of reward. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy and from His wisdom, He knows that there are acts which are based upon the religion, and then there are also acts which have a worldly benefit. And those acts which have worldly benefit, they're not necessarily from the religion. However, to increase the reward of the people, even the worldly acts which are not linked directly to the religion, if a person corrects his intention and makes it sincerely for the sake of Allah, then even the worldly acts, they become acts of worship. So let me give you an example of this. A person, he treats people well and he doesn't harm the people. And when he deals with the people, he deals with them with good manners. And this person does this because he knows that if I treat the people well, they'll also treat me well. And there's nothing wrong with this. And this is something which is good. I treat the people well, so they reciprocate that good treatment and they don't treat me, they also treat me well. A person, he doesn't harm the people around him. And his intention is that if I don't harm the people around me, then they won't harm me. And there's nothing wrong with this. This is something good. However, the second person, he treats the people well and he doesn't harm the people, and he interacts with the people with good manners because he read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa khaliqin nas bi khuluqin hasan, that live and interact with the people with good manners. So that one, the first one, his intention was for the dunya, for a dunya objective, and there's nothing wrong for that. And maybe he will have his reward in this life, that people will be nice to him and treat him well and they won't harm him. However, this one, because he memorized the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Mu'adh, wa khaliqin nas bi khuluqin hasan, that interact with the people with good manners, and he wanted to implement this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of this intention, even though the action is the same, then he gets rewarded for his actions. So the only difference between these two people is not the action, because the action is the same, but the intention. And because of that intention in his heart, that action, which is a worldly action of dealing with the people, it becomes an act of worship. It becomes ibadah. And this person, he reads the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Inna rajula, indeed a man, bi husuni khulqihi, due to his good manners, la yudriku darajat, he reaches the level of as-sa'imu bin nahar wal-qa'imu fil layl." He reaches a level of a person who fasts all throughout the day and prays all throughout the night because of dealing and having good manners with the people. And because this is his intention, that act, which is a worldly act, it becomes an act of worship and an act which he is rewarded for. You have another person, for example, and he goes out of his way to help people and to serve the community and to serve the society and help the people around him. And he does this because he thinks that if I help the people, then when I am in need, maybe they will help me also. And there's nothing wrong with this. It's a worldly objective, which is fine in itself. That you treat the people in a good way, and you help them, and you hope that they will help you when you're in time of need. But another person does the same action because he read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ, that Allah is in the help and the service of his slave as long as his slave is in the help and the service of his brother. So because he read this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does this action. And therefore his act of helping people and serving people, it changes from being a dunya act of worldly benefit to being ibadah, to being worship for the sake of Allah. Even though the actual action is the same. The only difference is his niyyah and his ikhlas, his sincerity for the sake of Allah. And this meaning and this principle of making your intention sincere, even the worldly acts, it was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned certain actions which are dunya actions, worldly actions which relate to the worldly life. He said, "Ta'adilu bayn ithnaini sadaqa." To deal between two people in justice, this is sadaqah. This is an act of charity or an act of reward. Tu'inu rajula ala dabatihi. To help a person with his transport. Fatahmiluhu alayha. So you help him onto this transport. Watarfa'u lahu alayha mata'ahu. Or you lift his possessions for him and you place them on this transport. Sadaqah. It becomes charity or an act of worship, i.e. an avenue of reward. And then he said, وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةُ. A good word, it is sadaqah, charity or an avenue of reward. And he said, وَتُمِيطُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةُ. That you remove an obstacle from the path or from the road or from the street, then this is sadaqah. This is charity or an avenue of reward. So all of these things, even though helping somebody on a car, for example, or smiling at somebody, or for example, carrying somebody's shopping, or moving an obstacle from the road or from the path, even though these are matters of the dunya, helping people, but because of al-ikhlas, of sincerity, and purifying your intention, they become sadaqah, they become charity and an avenue of reward. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in another hadith, he said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. That even in the private parts of one of you is sadaqah, is charity or is an avenue of reward. So the Sahaba, alayhim ridwanullah, they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أَيَقْضِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ. That one of us, he fulfills his desires. Meaning he has intimate relations with his wife. أَيَكُنْ لَهُ فِيهِ أَجَرْ. Is there a reward in this? Is there a reward even in just fulfilling our intimate desires with our families? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Araaytum," that do you think and consider, "Law wada'a fil harami ama kana alaihi wizr," that do you not consider if this person had fulfilled his desires in a haram way, that there'll be punishment upon him. Fakadhalika law wada'a fil halal. And similarly, there's a reward for him if he places does this in a halal way. So the person who gets married and he fulfills his desires and he only does this because he wants to stay away from haram and he wants to guard his modesty and he wants to protect himself from a zina, nasallahu salamu al-afiyah, then because of this intention, even your marriage and even fulfilling these intimate desires, they become al-ibadah, it becomes worship. So this principle of purifying your intention, even in the worldly affairs, then this is something that many people are negligent of. And they do this because, they deal with people in a good way because they want to be nice, or because they want the people to reciprocate that benefit or those mannerisms or that dealing and that interaction. And if a person was to make his intention sincerely and have ikhlas in those actions, then they come ibadah. Similar to this is something which is very important, and I often remind myself of, and I also remind some of the brothers of. And that is, that when somebody oppresses you, or speaks about you, or deals with you in a bad way, or says something about you, slanders you, backbites you, sends an email about you, writes something on the internet against you, when this person is doing this, they are disobeying Allah in relation to you. And it's important that when this happens, when you are oppressed by another person, when you are wronged by another person, when a person disobeys Allah regarding your right, that you correct and rectify your intention, and you don't disobey Allah in reacting to Him. And this you can take as a principle. And some of the Salaf, they used to mention this as a principle. They used to say, أَطِعِ اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فِيكَ, that you obey Allah regarding the person who has disobeyed Allah regarding you. This person, when he dealt with you in this way, and when he spoke about you, and when he wrote things about you, he disobeyed Allah. However, should you respond by also disobeying Allah regarding his right? No. You obey Allah in treating him properly and treating him with justice, and you don't disobey Allah due to the disobedience of this person. أَطِعِ اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فِيكَ. You obey Allah regarding the person who has disobeyed Allah in the way he has treated you. And this meaning has been mentioned and narrated by the famous companion Abu Darda radiallahu an, whereby he said, Inna la nukafi man asallah fina, that we do not respond to a person who has disobeyed Allah regarding our right bi akthari min an nuti' Allah fik, with anything more than that we obey Allah regarding him. So this important principle is very important, especially in the times that we live and the place that we live and the people that we live around. And of course, the issue of al-ikhlas, sincerity, and a person rectifying his intention in how you deal with the people and even your worldly affairs, then this isn't something which is very easy. Because shaitan, one of the avenues that shaitan has amongst the people is to try to corrupt the intention, the niyyah and the ikhlas of the people. And for this reason, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he said, أَمْرُ النِّيَّةِ شَدِيدٌ, that the affair of the intention is very, very severe. It means it's very difficult for a person to correct and purify his intention. And Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, and some of the other scholars from the Salaf, they used to say, مَا جَاهَدْتُ نَفْسِي عَلَى شَيْءٍ, that I've never fought against myself and my soul and my desires. I've never strived against myself and my desires upon anything, كَمُجَاهَدَتِهَا عَلَى الْإِخْلَاسِ, like the striving I do against myself and my soul regarding al-ikhlas, regarding sincerity. So a person having sincerity al-ikhlas and making his intention sincerely for the sake of Allah, this isn't something which is a condition before the act of worship. Meaning before any action, you make your intention sincere and then you leave it. No. Rather, a person is in need of sincerity and a sincere intention before doing the action, during doing the action, and even after you have performed the action, then you remain sincere and you rectify your intention. And this is why the Salaf would call it mujahada, striving and struggling to rectify your intention and maintaining sincerity. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, He said in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that the one who strives to purify it, I purify himself, his soul, his intention, his actions, he's the one who is muflih, he's the one who is successful. The point is that it requires a person to strive to always achieve ikhlas and rectify his intention. And one of the Arab poets, he said, النَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبَّ رَضَاعِي وَإِن تُفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِي, that the soul or the self of a person, the soul of a person, it is like a baby child. النَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى, if you leave this child, then it will be happy with breast milk. This small child, if you leave the child, then it will be content with drinking milk. وَإِن تَفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِي, however, if you strive to give it food and to train it to eat food, even though it's difficult. The first few days when the small baby starts eating food and leaves breast milk, then it's painful for the child. And the young child, he hates it and wants to go back to something which is easy. But when you train the small child, the baby upon this, then they become used to it. And this is the same thing with the soul. That if you allow your soul to follow its desires, and if you allow your intentions to be corrupt, then the soul and the self will be happy with this, with following the desires. النَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبَّ الرَّضَى وَإِن تَفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ. However, if you train it and you struggle against your soul in purifying it and al-ikhlas and sincerity, then after the struggle, it becomes used to becoming sincere, just as a young baby then becomes used to food and eating solid food. And then the author said, وَخَالِفِ النَّفْسَ وَالشَّيْطَانَ وَعْصِهِمَا. So oppose your soul and your desires. Oppose your desires. And الشيطان وَعْصِهِمَا. And disobey them. وَإِذْهُمَا مَحَّضَاكَ النُّصْحَ فَاتَّهِمِ. And if shaitan, and if your desires come to you pretending to give you advice or sincere advice, فَاتَّهِمِ, then accuse them. Or be suspicious of them. And the meaning of ikhlas in the Arabic language is from khalusa. So al-ikhlas comes from the word khalusa. Kha, lam, and sad. And the meaning of ikhlas or khalusa in the Arabic language, linguistically, is التنقية والتصفية والتهذيب. To clean something or to purify something. To clean or to purify something. And the meaning of ikhlas in the Sharia, the Shari'i meaning of ikhlas, and that which what we mean when we study al-ikhlas in Islam, is إفراد الله سبحانه بالقصد في الطاعة. To single out Allah in your intention of showing obedience to Him. إفراد الله سبحانه بالقصد في الطاعة. To single out Allah in your intention of His obedience. Meaning that when you intend the obedience of Allah through your worship, then you purify and you clean that intention and that sincerity and make it sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, He has ordered us with sincerity in many places in the Quran. He said, Ala lillahi ad-deen al-khalis. Surely for Allah is ad-deen, the religion which is khalis, which is sincere. Meaning make all of your actions and make all of your statements sincerely for the sake of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, Jalla fil Ula, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. Me making the religion, I all of the acts of worship sincerely, khalisan, for Him. Sincerely for Him. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. That for you, O disbelievers, are your actions, and for us are our actions. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. And we are sincere for His sake. We have ikhlas for His sake. And is there a difference between al-ikhlas and al-tawheed? Then that which is apparent, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and knowledge is with Allah, is that there is a difference between al-ikhlas and al-tawheed. So what is the difference between al-tawheed and al-ikhlas? And that is that al-tawheed is more general than al-ikhlas. So the meaning of Tawheed is more comprehensive and it's more general, and the meaning of Ikhlas is something which is restricted and more specific. So Al-Ikhlas refers to a person purifying his intention for the sake of Allah, his intention behind every statement and every act of worship for the sake of Allah. As for At-Tawheed, then it refers to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Tawheed and the belief that Allah is the only creator and provider and so on and so forth. Wa Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, and also the Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. So Tawheed is more general and more comprehensive because it covers the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah, the actions of Allah. It covers the Rububiyyah of Allah. It covers the Ubudiyyah or the Uluhiyyah of Allah. And all of these terms we've discussed previously. As for Ikhlas, then it refers to a person purifying his actions and his intentions sincerely for the sake of Allah. However, in this text, it appears to me, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that the author, when he said إِخْلَاسُ الدِّينِ لِلَّهِ, he meant by Al-Ikhlas Al-Tawheed. And the proof of this is that the author said that the first principle it is إِخْلَاسُ الدِّينِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ. The first principle is sincerity for the sake of Allah, the Most High, alone, He has no partners. وَبَيَانُ ضِدِّهِ الَّذِي هُوَ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ, and a clarification of its opposite, which is a shirk with Allah. And it's known that the opposite of Tawheed is shirk. So in this text, when the author said Ikhlasuddin, what he meant by this is a Tawheed, because the opposite of Tawheed is a shirk. And then after this, he said, وَكَوْنُ أَكْثَرِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي بَيَانِ هَذَا الْأَصَلِ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ شَتَّى, that the Qur'an in many ways, in different ways, it has come and is explained this principle, the principle of showing ikhlas, sincerity for the sake of Allah and staying away from ashirk. And the Qur'an has explained this from different angles using different types of evidences. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he said that in Madarij al-Salikin, he said, rather every single ayah of the Qur'an, every single ayah of the Qur'an is an evidence for At-Tawheed. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, in Madarij al-Salikin, he said, every single ayah in the Qur'an is an evidence proving the Tawheed of Allah. And Abu al-Itahiyya said, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ, in his poetry. That in everything, in every sign, in everything is a sign that proves that He, Allah, is alone. So how is it that all of the Qur'an and every single ayah of the Qur'an is an evidence for Tawheed? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah said that the Qur'an, it's you can divide the ayat of the Qur'an into five types. Are there five types when it comes to ayat of the Qur'an? The first type is Al-Ikhbaru anillah, is either the ayah is some information regarding Allah, wa asma'ihi, and His names, wa sifatihi, and His attributes, wa af'alihi, and His actions. So the first type of ayah in the Quran is there's either it's information either regarding Allah, His name, His attributes, or His actions. And this is At-Tawheed. And the second type of ayah that we find in the Qur'an is Al-Amru bi'ibadatihi wahda, is a command from Allah to worship Him alone. And this is At-Tawheed. This is now Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. So the first type of ayah is information regarding Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, for example. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ عَلِيمًا كَانَ اللَّهُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. All of these ayat are information regarding Allah, or His names, or His attributes, or the actions of Allah. And then the second type is when Allah ordered people with His worship. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah. do not commit shirk, and so on and so forth. The third type of ayah is a command from Allah or a prohibition from Allah. When Allah commands His slaves with something, and when Allah makes something haram upon the people. And this third type, this is from the perfection of Tawheed and from the rights of At-Tawheed. So this is from حقوق التوحيد ومكملاته, from the rights of Tawheed and from the perfection of At-Tawheed, whereby Allah Jalla fil Ula, He commands His slaves to do something and He prohibits them and forbids them from doing something else. The ahkam, the rulings. And then the fourth type of ayah that is found in the Quran is information عن إكرام أهل التوحيد وجزائهم, is information regarding the people of Tawheed and how Allah honors the people of Tawheed and the good reward for the people of Tawheed in this life and in the hereafter. So when the ayat are mentioned regarding paradise, Jannah, then who are these four? This reward and these ayat are regarding the people of Tawheed and the honoring of the people of Tawheed and the reward for the people of Tawheed. And therefore this is an evidence for a Tawheed. And the fifth type of ayah in the Quran is information regarding those people who oppose a Tawheed and the leave off a Tawheed, the Mushrikun and the Kafirun and the Zalimun and the Mujrimun. Those who oppose a Tawheed and they leave off a Tawheed. And Allah mentions the punishment for those people who oppose At-Tawheed. And therefore this is also an evidence for At-Tawheed. And every single ayah in the Qur'an comes under one of these five categories. And therefore, Al-Qur'an kulluhu At-Tawheed. That the Qur'an, all of it is At-Tawheed. And a proof and an evidence for At-Tawheed. So consider for example Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Rabb Al Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. This is Tawheed, Tawheed Al-Rububiyyah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. This is Tawheed, Tawheed Al-Asma wa Sifat, the names and attributes of Allah. Maliki Yawmiddin, the king or the owner of the Yawmiddin. This is Tawheed, Tawheed Al-Rububiyyah. Iyaka na'budu, you alone do we worship. This is Tawheed, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Iyaka nasta'een, this is Tawheed, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, so guide us to the straight path. It's a dua. This is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. Which path is this? The path of at-Tawheed. This is at-Tawheed. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those people whom you have blessed. Who are they? The people of Tawheed. Therefore, this ayah is an evidence for Tawheed. غير المغضوب, not those people whom you are angry upon, عليهم. ولا الضالين, not those people who are misguided. Who are they? Those people who oppose a Tawheed. So, all of Surah Al-Fatiha, it is regarding a Tawheed. And like this, the rest of the ayat of the Quran. And the author, rahimahullah, he mentions that Allah has explained this principle, the obligation of sincerity al-ikhlas and the prohibition of ashirk billah. He explained it with speech yafhamuhu abladul amma, that even the most unintelligent and the most stupid of people, that they will understand this speech. The most common and unintelligent of people, even they would understand this at-tawheed. And this is because, like we mentioned, Islam, all of it is built upon Tawheed. And the rectification of a person and the success of a person is upon At-Tawheed. So if Allah Jalla fil Ula was going to make this matter of At-Tawheed and staying away from shirk something which is very difficult and requires many, many evidences and requires a lot of fiqh and a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding, then the majority of the people wouldn't understand At-Tawheed and they wouldn't understand the basis of Al-Islam. For this reason, Allah made it something which is very easy to understand, in language which is so easy that even the common people understand. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and do not ascribe partners to Allah. Something which every single person, intelligent or otherwise, understands. However, then Shaytan came and he deceived the people. And the author mentions, ثُمَّ لَمَّا صَارَ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِ الْأُمَّةِ. Then, when most of the ummah, most of the people, when the situation changed, until أَظْهَرَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ, until that Shaytan came and he deceived them, and he made them believe al-ikhlas, the sincerity and ikhlas and al-tawheed, it is what? It is تَنَقُّص الصَّالِحِينَ. That the meaning of ikhlas is to be deficient and to criticize the righteous people. وَالتَّقْصِيرُ فِي حُقُوقِهِمْ, and to not fulfill their rights. So Shaytan, he came and he deceived the people. And instead of showing them that al-ikhlas means being sincere for the sake of Allah, he deceived the people and they understood al-ikhlas to be criticizing or speaking against or not fulfilling the rights of the righteous people. Meaning that those people who come and they call to Tawheed, and those people who come and they forbid a shirk, and they establish the religion of Allah, when they worship, they only worship Allah, and they forbid the people from worshipping other creation, then what do these people do? They come and they say that these people are, for example, the Wahhabiyya, and these people are Najdiyya, these people are Khawarij, these people are Ghustakhir Rasul, like it's in Urdu, these people are haters of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they think that this is al-ikhlas, this is sincerity. So Shaytan has deceived those people. That those people who are calling to ikhlas, they think that sincerity is giving them nicknames and putting them down and criticizing them. Until the one who came on TV, and all of you will have heard this, he came and he said that the one who performs at-tawaf and he doesn't know the athar and the adhkar of tawaf, then swear and insult the Wahhabiyya. So this is worship to them. This is how Shaytan deceived these people. That this is al-ikhlas and this is al-ibadah. وَأَظْهَرَ لَهُمْ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ. And as for a shirk, then he deceived the people. And he made them believe that مُحَبَّةُ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَتْبَعِهِمْ. That a shirk isn't really shirk, rather it's loving the righteous people and loving the followers of the righteous people. And from the intelligence of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and his fiqh and his diqqa in ilm is that he mentioned how the main avenue which Shaytan deceives the people when it comes to shirk is al-ghulu fi salihin, is exaggerating and being extreme in praising the righteous people or giving them certain status or ranks which they are not deserving of, which Allah hasn't given them. And this is, in fact, this is the basis of every single shirk. That people, they have ghulu fi salihin. They have, out of the love for the righteous people, and out of the love for the awliya, and the love for the scholars, and the love for the prophets and the messengers, that they start raising them above the rank that Allah has given them. And in fact, this was the first shirk that occurred amongst mankind. Al-ghulu fi salihin. When Allah said in Surah Nuh, وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ, that they would say, don't leave your gods. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ, and do not leave wad, wasuwa' وَيَعُوثَ وَيَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَيَغُوثَ وَنَسْرَى. That don't leave these five deities. The people of Nuh, afterwards they came and they said to the people that do not leave your deities and do not leave these five gods. Wad, Wasuwa', Wayu'uq, Wayaguth, Wanasra. These were five false gods. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in the tafsir of this ayah, he mentions that these five gods and these five false gods and deities, kanu or kanat asma rijalin salihin, that these were names of five righteous people. فَلَمَّا هَلَكُوا, so when these five righteous people, they were from the awliya of Allah, when these five righteous people died, جَاءَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ, Shaytan, he came to those who remained behind. وَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ, and he tried to inspire them. And that you should erect for them remembrances and sittings and gatherings and idols. أَنِنْسِبُوا فِي مَجَالِسِهِمْ أَنْصَابًا, that they should erect for them idols or memories or gatherings for these righteous people. And yet, when he did this, his excuse was that these were righteous people and you should remember these righteous people and this will bring you closer to Allah. فَمَا عَبُدُوهُمْ, and that stage the people didn't worship those righteous people. حَتَّى هَلَكُوا, until that generation of people, they died and they passed away. وَنُسِخَ الْعِلْمِ, and then knowledge was forgotten. فَعَبَدُوهُمْ, and then they worshipped those idols. So even the first shirk which occurred amongst mankind at the time of Nuh alayhi salam, it was due to what? Due to al-ghulu fi salihin. Due to having ghulu in the righteous people, the awliya and the prophets and so on and so forth. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he closed this avenue of shirk in many, many authentic ahadith. So from amongst the last statements that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made in his pure life, in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد, they took the graves of their messengers or their prophets to be masajid, to be places of worship. So again, it was غلو في الصالحين. They had غلو regarding their prophets and their messengers. Who are the prophets of Allah? And their غلو was so far that they start taking their graves to be masajid, places of worship. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا تُطْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَى إِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ, don't praise me or don't exceed my praises like the Christians praise Isa, the son of Maryam. إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ, rather I am a slave, وَرَسُولُ, and a messenger. فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, so say, call me the slave of Allah and the messenger of Allah. So again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wanted to finish off غلو في الصالحين. And if غلو regarding صالحين, if exceeding their limits and exaggerating their praises and giving and doing acts which are not permissible for them, if this isn't allowed regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then surely it's not permissible for any other person who comes after him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُو, be aware of al-ghulu. إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ, the thing which destroyed those people who came before you was al-ghulu in the religion. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when some of the young women or some of the young girls, they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they were reciting poetry, they said, وَفِينَا نَبِيٌّ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي غَدَى, that amongst us is a prophet who knows what will happen tomorrow. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and also At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. وَفِينَا نَبِيٌّ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي غَدَى, and amongst us is a prophet who knows what will happen tomorrow. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, Uskuti, be silent. Waquli ma kunti taqulina qablaha, and say what you were saying before this statement. Because they were happy with the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also they were singing the praises of the battle of Badr. So he said to them, carry on saying those things. Verse of happiness, poetry, what happened in the battle of Badr. As for this, and in the narration of Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْغَدِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, nobody knows that which will occur tomorrow except Allah. So the point is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once again He closed off the avenue of al-ghulu, so that people don't give him attributes which are sincerely for the sake of Allah. And as I mentioned, this is from the fiqh and the knowledge of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. The first principle he made it regarding Al-Ikhlas. And the first deception he mentioned, of deception of shaitan, which is the original cause of every type of shirk, is Muhabbat al-Salihin, people claiming that they love the righteous people. Don't they call themselves Ashiq al-Rasul, the lovers of the Prophet, and then they commit the acts of worship? Even though this name Ashiq is not permissible in the Arabic language to have regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because there is a difference between Muhabba and Al-Ishq. Al-Ishq, na'udhu billah, it's lust. A person, he has Ishq towards his wife, for example. This is the meaning of Al-Ishq in the Arabic language. And Muhabba, then this is love that occurs between a person and his parents, between two brothers, between two sisters, between the Muslims, between family members. So even this wording of Ashiq al-Rasul, in itself, this is wrong. And this in itself is disrespectful to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why, do we ever hear any of the companions ever calling themselves Ashiq al-Rasul, that they are the love in this way of the Prophet? We don't hear these terms. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. If there's any questions regarding the lesson, if there's any questions from upstairs, then you can write them down. Ashiq is lust, and muhabba is love. There's no question.
Can you repeat what Ibn Qayyim said about the five? You can break down the ayat of Quran.
Ibn Qayyim, are you writing, Yaqi? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he said in Madarij al-Salikin that the Quran, all of it is an evidence for Allah, or evidence of at-tawheed. And that is because every single ayah in the Quran, it falls into five categories, and there's no sixth to these four categories. He said, number one, al-ikhbar anillah, is information regarding Allah, wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa af'alihi, and his actions. And this is tawheed al-khabari. Then this is tawheed of knowledge regarding Allah. Or it is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Asma wa al-Sifat. And so the second type is Al-Amr bi-Ibadatillah, is a command to worship Allah. And this is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah wal-Ubudiyyah. And the third type is Awamir wal-Nawahi, either commands or prohibitions. And this is from the rights of Tawheed and from the perfection of At-Tawheed, from Huquq At-Tawheed wal-Mukammalatih. And the fourth type is khabar an ahli tawheed wa ikramihim wa jazaihim, is regarding information regarding the people of tawheed and the honoring of the people of tawheed and their reward. And this is an evidence for tawheed. And the fifth type is khabar, is information regarding those people who left alone tawheed and they deviated from tawheed, and the humiliation and the punishment. And this is also an evidence for tawheed. Tayyib, if you have no questions, then I have questions.
You mentioned the Mujahida. And the
Mujahada. Mujahada.
The other term which we listen in our... These two terms. Is that something like physically you do it and perform?
It depends upon the brother is asking regarding mujahada, striving to rectify al-ikhlas, sincerity, and tazkiya, and also striving to rectify yourself. And first of all, it depends on the definition of al-ikhlas. Does al-ikhlas refer to a person's intention, or is it all, or do we also have al-ikhlas in our actions? Because in reality, the definition of al-ikhlas that I've come across, the scholars, they define al-ikhlas in different ways. And some of them restrict it to the niyyah, in a person purifying his niyyah, whereas others, Allahu alam, they make it more general to a person purifying all of his actions. Because for example, Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, say my prayers, physical action. وَنُسُكِي, my rituals or my sacrificing, physical actions. وَمَحْيَايَ, and all of my living. وَمَمَاتِي, and all of my dying, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, or purely and sincerely for the sake of Allah. So this ayah shows that there's also ikhlas when it comes to the actions. And others said that this ikhlas, even though it's in the action, but it goes back to a person's intentions. So, al-mujahada with tazkiyah, a person rectifying himself and striving against his own soul and against his desires is something that primarily happens and occurs in the heart. That person, he strives against his desires. And because of a person striving, having mujahad and tazkiyah against his desires and rectifying his intention, then this also rectifies his actions. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah inna fil jasadi mudgha. Indeed, in the body is a muscle or a muscle. Idha saluhat salah al jasad kullu. If it becomes rectified, all of the body is rectified. Wa idha fasadat fasad al jasad kullu. And if it becomes corrupt, all of the body becomes corrupt. He said, Allah wa hiya al qalb. Indeed, it is the heart. So once the heart is rectified through mujahada and through a tazkiyah, then the rest of the actions, they also become correct and rectified. However, al-ikhlas and al-mujahada, it also occurs in your actions and your statements. And this is, for example, charity. The person who gives charity, even after he has given charity, he has to maintain al-ikhlas. Because if he says a word, if he makes a statement, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, and he shows off, and has a riya, then this, it corrupts his al-ikhlas. And therefore this shows that even your statements, for example, when you're given charity, then you have to rectify and strive against your statements, that you don't go around mentioning your charity to other people and showing off with regards to your charity. So, Allahu A'lam, but at-tazkiyah and mujahada is something primarily which is in the heart, but also occurs upon the tongue and the statements.